please rise. Join me in the salute to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Our clerk will now take the roll call.
Councilmember Watson.
Present.
Councilmember Hansen.
Here.
Councilmember Olson.
Here.
Councilmember Ingram.
Here.
Councilmember Mutchler.
Here.
Councilmember Birch.
Here.
Councilmember Goodrich.
Here.
All right, all present and accounted for. Thank you, Council. So next up on the agenda is the public comment period. This is the time where you can come before the Council and address them. Anything that's not on tonight's agenda, you come to the podium. You can say your name and address if possible, and we give you 3 minutes to address. We have 3 public hearings, so you'll have ample chance to talk on all 3 of those issues when they come. We'll turn the audience and ask them anything else that's on the agenda. If you have a question and we're not noticing you, raise your hand or speak up. We allow anyone to speak on any subject that's on the agenda at any time. So do we have anyone who would like to speak in the public comment period? Sure. There's one there. Welcome, sir. Come on forward. You missed the budget session where we were talking about Portal Way.
You were, huh?
Yeah.
Well, how'd you do? Glad to see everybody here again.
Name for the record.
I haven't been here for quite a while, but I do have something to say to all of you.
Name for the record. Just we have to. Cause
my name is Fred Rudolph.
Thank you, Fred.
And I made a couple of comments to a couple of the people when we had the forum here a while back. And why in the world can't you have a aerial photograph of the city done in topography so you can map out a road that it makes sense to the city and alleviate the traffic? And I think that would be beneficial. And I think in addition to the bridge over the railroad track, you're going to have another roundabout put in on the other side of the freeway. Has that been into your budget? I think if you have this aerial view and come up with a new road, you could build that road and alleviate the traffic a lot cheaper than you can build that bridge at $30 million over the railroad track. And I have one other comment, too. I think the councils, or somebody is creating their own problem with the traffic downtown. When you go ahead and approve 100-unit developments up on the hill, you're just creating more traffic right here in town. And I think if you went ahead, though, with this aerial view and come out with something. I was on the Planning Commission in Mukilteo for a couple of years, and I was a general contractor for 20 years, and I was in the military service for over 20. So I'm not talking through my hat. And I think it should be taken under consideration. And I'd like to know if there's anybody in favor of this in the council?
We just got the aerial view, didn't we?
We did.
With topography.
Oh, with topography.
No. With topography, right. So you know the lay of the land.
Because they had something with the obliques.
We have the pictometry. We also have contours. I'm sorry. We have pictometry. We have contours. We have consultants who are looking at the contours for all the various projects.
I think that would really help if you actually use them.
And just to pique his interest, don't we have an opening on the Planning Commission?
We do.
Just thought I'd mention it.
Yeah, thanks.
I knew you'd enjoy it.
And one other comment. We had that bump on Portal Way for a long, long time, and somebody come along and put a patch in there, and it's worse than it ever was before. And whoever put that patch in there, I'd fire them.
Where's it at, Mr. Rudolph?
On Portal Way. There was a bump there for a long time. then it was marked, and we had the somebody marked it out and put the sign up there, bumping the road. They were up there for months. And then finally somebody did a patchwork, and it's terrible.
That is scheduled to be fixed. We were waiting on the proper equipment from, I believe, the county, and that's...
Where is it at? Tell me.
By the Mexican restaurant.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so that should be fixed in the next couple of weeks. I spoke with her, Bo, about it.
Just about as worse as it was before.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a temporary patch.
any questions for our guests? No? All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks for coming again. Anyone else from the audience? Open comment period. We accept anyone who come forward? No? No? Okay. Moving on.
Papa John asked to be excused. He has a medical procedure tomorrow, and that's why he's not here tonight.
Excuse granted. Okay.
No.
Yeah, he's not getting paid. Okay, so I'm going to close the regular meeting at 6:06. Last time we'll have to do this. This works out great. And we're going to open the Transportation Benefit District Board, the board meeting, and we have the TBD consent agenda in front of you. Councilperson Hansen.
I move we pass the consent agenda for TBD.
Second.
Okay, been moved and seconded. I think Councilperson Watson beat you by half a second. So any further questions? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries 7-0. And then we have the one that's really going to be great is this is a public hearing. We're going to transfer authority from the Transportation Benefit District Board to the regular council. And for the exclamation to the audience is the Transportation Benefit District creates a tax from our gas fund. And before, the state wanted us to have a separate board that was part of the council. Now the state has allowed us to combine the boards. And would you like to explain that, Mr. Finance Director? Because you feel like you want to.
It's not from the gas fund.
Yes, you're correct.
It's sales tax. The voters in 2012 voted to, they approved a 0.2% sales tax. The Transportation Benefit District was in the same contiguous area as the city of Ferndale. So the city has been enjoying a monthly check. Actually, it's a fund transfer from the Department of Revenue at the end of each month. About 30-some-odd $1,000 a month. And that started in November of 2012. We're up to about $385 per year now. And the legislature this year authorized cities, if they so desired, to absorb the Transportation Benefit District into the regular city finance, regular city fund structure. So that's a proposal in front of you, and the press will isolate those revenues and expenses and use those funds only for transportation projects. By doing this, we do save anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 a year in administrative costs, including software updates, software maintenance fees, and effort from your city treasurer and et cetera, professional services. And the audits will go away, so there's administrative savings. All that money will then be kept for transportation projects beginning next year.
And, all right. Any technical questions of staff before we go to the public hearing? Okay. So we have three public hearings, so I'm going to read by law. We have to read this statement before any public hearing, so I'm going to read it once, and hopefully all of you will memorize every word of this and be ready to recite it on the other two public hearings. A public hearing is a former opportunity to give testimony to the council for consideration in the decision-making process. Written comments may also be submitted to the city clerk prior to the beginning of the hearing. When the mayor calls your name, proceed as follows. Audience members who signed up prior to the beginning of our meeting will be called first to speak at this public hearing. If you're unable to sign up before the meeting, you'll be given the opportunity to address the council once we've got through all the speakers listed on the hearing sheets. Each speaker should state his or her name and address the record and be given 3 minutes to address the council. When a large group of individuals supports the same position on issue, we encourage the selection of one or two representatives to speak on behalf of the entire group. So I don't believe even we had sign-up sheets that no one signed up. So would anyone like to speak on you'd come forward and give us an opinion on whether they should vote on switching the Transportation Benefit District Board into a regular council meeting, save time, save us opening, closing the meeting. Very efficient, very lean. I'm glad the state finally got intelligent on that. But would anyone from the audience like to come speak on this enthralling subject? Okay. So we will close the public hearing at 6:10:28. Council, a vote before you. Councilperson Hansen.
I move that we pass the ordinance that has the City Council assume the duties of the TPD Board.
Second.
And seconded by Councilperson Burse. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Okay, so we're going to close the public hearing at 6.
What's the TBD meeting?
Yeah, the TBD 03, and we'll reopen the regular council meeting at 6:11. So we're back to the regular council meeting. Last time we have to do that, I'm thrilled about that. And we have the regular consent agenda for you. Councilperson Burse.
I would like to remove the council minutes of November 2nd for discussion.
Okay, approval of, okay, so we'll pull approval of minutes, and we'll go down to B1 then. Okay, so with the addition of pulling that item off, we have the rest of the consent agenda for you. Do you have a motion to approve the regular consent agenda, pulling that item off?
Second.
Okay, moved by Councilperson Watson, seconded by Councilperson Olson. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, that carries 7-0. And now we have before us the approval of the minutes. The minutes from the council meeting dated November 2nd, 2015. So, Councilperson Burse, you wanted that removed, so your floor.
I've written notes. The minutes of the last meeting of the City Council, November 2nd, state that this council granted by general consent to let the city staff and legal counsel proceed with whatever strategy they had in mind regarding unknown potential litigation that was supposed to be discussed in the scheduled executive session. We, the council, did not give any such consent. I certainly did not consent to that. I've listened to the audio recording several times this last meeting, and that recording reflects no such consent as stated in the minutes. How could this council give approval to staff when it was not informed of what litigation or what strategy? What is the point of having city council if the council is just going to approve things without any knowledge? This council did not give the city staff a license to proceed with whatever they want to do. And I want the minutes to reflect that.
Councilperson Watson.
I guess I would disagree. I don't know, were you listening for words? Because we nodded.
We nodded is not consensus of the council.
They actually use general consent. Because if someone's like, do we have general consent, and the majority went.
Nodding? How can you reflect that on a verbal tape?
I'm trying to think of Robert's rules.
It wasn't, a motion wasn't necessary. We actually, Councilmember Ingram did make a motion, and then
everybody was talking at once. There was no motion. There was no vote. So I do not see a general consensus.
I guess I felt like we did have general consensus. And that's why I guess I was comfortable with it, because I just felt like we had all, like, we were nodding, like, okay.
Because we essentially canceled the executive session, is what we did. We canceled it. Councilperson Mutchler?
Careful. Staff left that meeting with the message that there was consensus, and nobody spoke up against it. I recall it in the, and they can check the record if anybody spoke up against what the staff interpreted as consensus. The staff left stating there was consensus and went off what they thought was a consensus, and they're nodding now, but I don't recall anybody objecting to that consensus that the staff stated.
Councilperson Olson and Councilperson Hansen.
Weren't,
weren't we in executive session? So there was
we hadn't entered into executive session.
Everybody was dismissed out the door, weren't they?
We were going to go into executive session. I don't think anybody.
No, they hadn't. Been
no, we can't. We canceled the executive session.
It was all recorded.
Did we cancel it? I don't recall.
Everybody was still here.
Yeah. The audience was here, and we said, that, okay, the executive session will be canceled.
We never did enter into
it. Yeah, we never entered into an executive session. We just didn't have it. We canceled it. Councilperson Hansen?
I was just going to say the proper way to amend the minutes. The proper way to amend the minutes would be by motion second, discussion as you would any other motion, and a vote of the council. It can't be, you can't just request that the minutes be amended. It has to be by a vote of the council.
So the floor would go to Councilor Bursch if she wants to put that in a motion.
Right.
Councilor Bursch?
I would like to make that motion.
Is there a second for that motion?
Can you tell me what the motion is that you want the minutes to say? That it's not a general consent to council.
I'll second it for...
Okay, so moving second, any discussion on this?
I'm curious how we would word that, because if you take it out, then you're left with council granted approval.
I guess in a general sense, you could, and help me as an administrator or clerk, is if you're disagreeing with this vote, if you vote no on this motion, you're then essentially voting that we did have the consensus, and now so you're creating consensus because you're voting no on this issue. Am I correct?
I think that would be the ultimate effect of that, because the minutes would reflect what they say currently. So yes, if the motion does not pass, then the minutes will reflect.
The minutes will remain the same.
Will remain the same, which reflects general consensus amongst the council.
Which would kind of be what Councilperson Bursch was kind of asking. It would reflect a formal vote that says we decided to go to
And that would be reflected in tonight's minutes. So I think reading last council minutes together with tonight's minutes would lead the reader to believe in totality that there was a, or at least the majority of the council believed that there was a consensus.
Just, boy, a thought for the future. I mean, yeah, you are correct. Nodding is, we do that on budget. You know, do I have consensus? Nobody disagreed, but, you know, maybe in a situation like that, we should actually have a formal vote.
Yeah.
Further discussion? Councilperson Goodrich?
I'm going to abstain from voting on this because I was not present, so I really can't say one way or another other than what I read in the minutes. I did not listen to the tape.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, so on the motion before you, it's been moved and seconded. So all in favor of that motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed to that motion?
Aye.
Okay, motion fails with Councilperson Burst, the only one going forward. Councilperson Mutchler?
Point of order, does someone now need to make a motion to now adopt it? I make a motion that we receive, that we adopt the minutes as.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Further discussion? Okay, seeing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, so motion carries 5-1. But Councilperson Bursch in the no. Okay, so we're moving on. So we're beyond the consent agenda, and then I'll go to the city administrator, an introduction of a new employee who we've always already brought up, but we didn't formally introduce him.
Yes, it's my distinct honor to have our new public works director who began full-time employment today, Kevin Rentz. You might have come to the mic here. I think he has a speech and a song.
I'm just
going to
dance.
Okay.
As you're aware, we did a fairly extensive search, and Kevin certainly rose to the top of that, and I know I myself, and I think I can speak for the majority of staff, is very excited. Kevin actually did not wait for his first official day. He's been up to the city a couple times after the interview process to take part in some meetings that he felt would gain him a little advantage coming in on his first day. So I appreciate that, and I know staff has been very warm in welcoming him, and so maybe I didn't want to put you on the spot, but maybe you could say a couple of words.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor Council. It's great to be here. I'm really excited to start off at Ferndale. I come from a career down at Skagit County. I spent the last 19 years working for Skagit County and saw this position as a great opportunity to take on a new challenge, to do something new and different in my career. So I'm really looking forward to being here. Came up, got to meet the majority of the public works staff today, and really hope that I can hit the ground running and do some good work. Very much looking forward to it, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Welcome. Welcome to Ferndale. Thank you.
I see we use the police department guidelines for height.
Yes, exactly.
In hiring.
Yeah. Okay, next up, a presentation by the Department of Ecology. Welcome once again. We seem to recognize you guys.
Yeah.
It's a regular occurrence. We're happy to have you.
Well, thanks to Mayor Jensen and council members. So as far as I understand, you have a wastewater treatment facility, and it's a good one. And we're here to talk a little bit about that. And you've had a good year. There are 305 total municipal wastewater treatment plant permits in the state. And every year we give award to those that have a perfect record of compliance. So the reports are on time. The samples all come back good. There aren't any discharges, and they've done a superb job of helping to keep our streams clean and keep polluted water from getting into our bays and our Puget Sound, and it's a big deal. And so for that, we give an award. And so not only have you won, achieved the award for this year, but this is the third year in a row. And I think something like 126 of the 300 got an award this year, and you've done it 3 years in a row. So you're beating the odds every year, and we really appreciate the diligence and the care and the expertise that your staff has exhibited this year in having such a good record. And so with that, Mark, do you have anything you want to add? I know that Mark normally brings his own personal award, which is the Golden Plunger, and he has one.
But
I'm handing
it on my desk. So I'll bring it to Mike at the plant.
Yes, it has your name on it. And so I just congratulations for a job well done. It's great to be back for the third year in a row, and I hope and expect that I'll be back next year.
Well, let's bring up everything in Ferndale is a team effort.
Yeah.
But to have a team effort, you need a very good team leader. So let's bring our team leader,
Absolutely.
Mr. Olinger, up. And so you can present that award to him, and then we can clap for everything.
Yeah, right.
Cameron in the house. There we go. All right. Well, congratulations. Great job.
Thanks.
Got it.
Undoubtedly you do. And it's an honor to be back. And I hope to see you.
And Mike says you'll be back next year.
I believe that's right.
Good job. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
We'll await that plunger.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Not the same without the plunger. I don't know. I have a thing for plungers.
The plungers are only given in Whatcom County. I'm the only one in the state that has this. It's just for Whatcom County. No other county gets it.
Way to go. To a plumber, it's very special. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next up is the capital projects update. Welcome, welcome.
Good evening, Council. My name is Katie Ratter. I'm the Public Works Project Manager. I've got just a short update. It's a time of year where construction is thankfully kind of winding down. So we're wrapping up a few projects. The first on the list is our pump station door upgrade. That's the pump station over there on Smith Road. My list is old. Anyway, all the major plumbing is pretty much done. The mechanical, the electrical is complete. We installed a new flow meter. A lot of times we are not sure where what kind of flows we're getting from different areas of the system, so we installed a new flow meter at that pump station. The crews reconnected the existing force main, so everything's the way it needs to be for the next 20 or 30 years. The site's been backfilled, and some of the old components, the generator, old pumps, that sort of thing, have been returned to the city so we can either scrap those or reuse them in other locations. We're just now working out the kinks in the system as far as the telemetry goes. That's the brains of the pump station that communicates with Mike at the treatment plant, letting know when alarms are happening. We paved the site last Wednesday, so it's starting to look like a real grown-up facility now. Tomorrow they plan on finishing up the fencing, and then probably the last items will be installed later this week. So we should be substantially complete here probably by the end of the week. And it looks like the budget's doing okay as well. So I'm hoping there's any questions about that.
I want to stop for a second. Is, you know, Katie doesn't give enough credit sometimes. The city was closed. It was Veterans Day. Patty was working at City Hall because she was behind on situations, and our inspector was out working, and she was so pleased because I drove by and honked at her, and she gave me like, "Why are you honking at me?" And then she, "Oh, it's you." But you know, sometimes we don't give Katie enough credit. Hours don't mean a thing to her. It doesn't matter if it's a holiday or whatever. If it needs to be inspected, she's there, and you should be complimented.
Well,
even though it wasn't a very nice wave.
You helped the Kiwanis pick up flags.
Well, and Mark was there too, and I think I tripped and dropped my cell phone, and so he thought we were being City Hall is
under siege,
bumming burglar. So anyway, thank you for that. Second on the list is the Molloy sewer replacement project, and that's the replacement and upsizing of the sewer on Molloy between Oxford and Thornton. Sewer's all in, streets paved, roads open for the most part. The contractor will close or flag the road if they need to complete the remaining items, which is just minor stuff. Basically, the landscaping, restoring the sides of the road, getting people's yards looking okay, and then doing some striping. So as soon as the weather kind of wants to cooperate, we'll take care of that. But that's pretty much done. And the construction budget on that one's looking good as well. So, I don't know if we have any, anybody has any questions about that project. All right. Last on the list is the Main Street pavement repair and crack sealing. What was done since the last time I stood in front of you and provided an update? The contractor installed new ADA ramps at Barrett Road, kind of over there next to Pilot. So that was done. They did the downtown crack seal from fourth, or just a little bit or west of third, to I-5 and Barrett Road. We did the pavement repair on either side of Interstate 5. The manhole repair was completed last week, and we were able to, the contractor was able to get in and do some pavement, put in some pavement markings. Those are the, we call them raised pavement markings, turtles. So anyway, that's not quite done, so that's all that is left to be completed is the remainder of the pavement markings, and we're again waiting for Mother Nature to be kind to us so we can finish that. So again, it looks like we're within budget on that project as well.
That's Chris Goodrich.
I just want to say it was nice when I came into town Saturday to see the bounty, the nice and smooth there on Main Street, and then today when I went under the railroad tracks, not having to dodge the manhole there. So I was glad to see that worked out while I was gone. But big thumbs up to get that.
Let's see. So the other stuff, you know, we've always got things in the hopper. You know, council's deciding what our budget's going to be for next year. We're going to be pretty busy. I know that Reichart Navy is working on the design for the library crosswalk. The bid package should be ready to go sometime in December. we are trying to get that organized. A lot of times when you install traffic lights or flashing beacons, in this case it'll be a flashing crosswalk light, there's a long lead time for buying those poles and those signal components. So we're going to try to pre-order those so that when we do go out to add, that the components are there and we're not half constructed waiting on poles and stuff. So that's what's going on with that one.
Do we have money? I mean, I know Phillips is going to give us $20,000.
I would bet our city minister is going to tell that, because even you got the notice on the Phillips 66 grant.
Yeah, we received the actual application that I'll be filling out for Phillips 66 at this point. The remainder will probably be coming out of TBD.
And for the public, you might maybe explain to the public what they, because it's kind of a neat project. Want to explain that project?
Right, so there's a crosswalk existing on Main Street at Sterling Avenue, which kind of lines up, but not really, with the front of the new library. And so just the way the road sits in the crown, coming over the hill, traffic kind of speeds through there, and it's very difficult to see pedestrians, especially if you have a ledge foot, I guess. So the project is to improve that crossing by installing a center refuge area, which is basically a raised curb. So once you get across one lane of traffic, you can stop and wait for the next lane of traffic. But there'll also be flashing beacons as well to alert drivers that there's somebody there trying to cross. Part of the work will be to realign the crossing as well, so it lines up more with the front door of the library.
Is this one of the beacons are in the pavement?
No, these are ones on poles.
Okay.
On either side of the street, behind the sidewalk.
And then, but nothing in the middle, but just on the sides.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Councilperson Olson?
And this was on the TBD list of projects?
I believe so. We'll verify that, but I think we actually put kind of a miscellaneous pedestrian improvement line on the TBD. We'll be bringing that. Once we bid it and bring back the cost, we'll be bringing back
the is potential. It's the greater percentage is from grant, isn't it?
We have to see what the bids come back in, but Phillips has kind of not officially but somewhat committed $20,000 to the project. The project could be well above that, mostly because of the electrical work and the realignment as well as the flashing beacons, but we're just going to have to see what it is when the bid comes in.
My point being, I don't recall it being on there. I could be wrong. I just want to make sure that it is on there, and if it is, that'll be something that we can cross off to show what we're doing with that money.
Correct.
Yeah, we'll look at that list tomorrow. Okay. If it's not specific, we will bring forward something to make it.
We'll have a public works director that's more on top of those statistics.
Not always on vacation and stuff.
Exactly. Thank you for doing that, because the kids at the end of the school day will come and getting dark so early, and they just cross, and nobody can see them as they come over the hill.
Of anything we've done, I mean, you see that constantly. It's like, thank you for bringing it up, though. People shouldn't be driving through that intersection at a high speed. Yeah.
And then the other things that we've got on track, you guys know about Washington Street. That's the Safe Routes to School project. We've got some TIB money on that one. Main Street, the Bounty Roundabout, that's under design. We actually had a pretty good meeting with WashDOT. Once we combined all those various components of that project, we need to work with WashDOT to improve our drainage to the Nooksack, which kind of falls within their right-of-way on I-5, so that was good. And they're willing to help us out with that, get things moving forward. Again, the Central City Water Association conversion to full city standards, so we can take over that water system. That's on track. Thornton Road Sewer, working on getting a design underway for that, and a Thornton Road extension project. I wanted to mention, too, that TIB, we did submit some grant requests for some various projects, and I think that the TIB will be looking at that later on this month, so we should know, like, after the 20th, I want to say, so we should know if the city received any grant money. Those folks. That's it.
Any questions? Councilperson Watson?
Just one more. Is Public Works doing any
pre-planning at this point, the possibility of flooding?
You know, actually, I spoke with Bo about that this morning, and he said that we are ready. I think it was, I forget the number, 19 or something, or whatever it was, what it's projected to be, and he feels that we're in real good shape. You know, this is something, thankfully, I guess we do deal with annually.
You probably already know we're very pleased to finally have radios that probably will be operable.
So I asked him specifically, because the last storm, he was actually, this new storm that's coming in may hang around longer, and that's the concern, is just the continuous, even though it might not be torrential, it adds up over time. But Bo said that he feels very, very comfortable with where we're at right now.
Well, let us know if you want the DOC on, because we have enough people now in the auxiliary communications group and open DOC.
Oh, good to know. Thank you.
Ferndale's flood, like you mentioned, is at 19 feet. If the Nooksack hits 19, I checked there's a hydrograph. We've got a Ferndale has a station there that monitors the river level, and I checked it before I came over here. And I think they're estimating now for it to top out at 19.75, which is almost a foot over flood, which isn't terrible. But
well, the alert that I just got on my phone this evening. Is calling for possible landslide potential, and flood watch remains in effect.
Yeah, I think the effect that we'll certainly see is the closure of Slater. So we'll be seeing more traffic on Main Street once that occurs, which is, again, something we experience each year, but it's something we need to see.
Katie's right. I mean, if you can stick around for an extra 6 hours, then it'll be more time.
Hope that it doesn't
rain. Okay. Thank you for your service. Okay. Now we're on the public hearing, first of our public hearing on 2016 budget. So, staff.
Evening, Council, Mr. Mayor. Just some introductory comments before we go to the public comments. Council, you've seen various iterations of the budget. We have paper versions with the city clerk. We're supposed to have three. I believe we have two paper versions of this package. Earlier versions on the website. Basically, we look at the current year and look for needs for the coming year and look at revenue projections for the coming year. We're projecting about a 3% growth in sales tax and about a 3% growth in utility taxes. Utility tax is driven by not only population gain, but rate increases. This is not just the City of Ferndale utilities, the water, sewer, storm, but it's electricity, natural gas, phone, cell phone, those kinds of utilities where we get a 6% utility tax for the general fund. In addition, we get some franchise fees from the cable folks and the garbage haulers, SSC. So we look at the revenue projections, we take a look at expenses, continuing with existing staff and existing programs. We then consider departmental inputs for new things, new expenditures, whether it be staff or vehicles or that sort of thing, or some extra professional consulting fees for various projects. We've incorporated almost all of those expenditure decision cards, like I say, almost all. We look to see how we balance the budget for the general fund. If we want to continue with certain general fund expenditures and resources, including full-time code enforcement, full-time second detective, a new full-time third administrative staff at the police station so we can keep the doors open during office hours. Additional staff in the field for public works staff, which hasn't seen any growth in over 10 years, even though our water customers have grown about 15% in 10 years. Additional administrative staff to administer water, sewer, storm utilities, utility billing clerk. New vehicles. Police have vehicles well over 100,000 miles. We need to start replacing those. So we have in the budget 3 new vehicles this year plus the next 3 years. 12 vehicles new plus a new scope vehicle for the police, 13 vehicles. So those are some of the expenditures that, so far, the council has, I don't know if you've taken a vote, but they've nodded. The budget is still in draft form. But in order to make that balance, we do need some kind of general fund revenue increase. Now, the various ways to do that, there's property tax, which we'll address later on tonight, that we can control. We have a solid waste tax on our two garbage transfer stations on Slater Road. And we have a utility tax rate of 9% on our city's own water, sewer, storm utilities. That utility tax ends up going to the general fund, along with utility tax on water, on electricity, natural gas, phone, and cell phone. So we're at the point where the general fund budget balances if later on tonight the council considers a solid waste tax rate increase. Now, we've noted that several cities, jurisdictions in Washington State have quite a high rate on their garbage and their solid waste, topping out at 40% of gross revenues. Currently, the city of Ferndale charges 12.5% on gross revenues for the solid waste activities on Slater Road. So with that, we'll turn it over to the public, unless there are questions.
Technical questions for staff? No? Seeing, okay, Councilor Watson?
So this budget document does have those solid waste increases in it?
It does, to make it balanced. They have alternate A in there. That is the half, going from 12.5 this year to a half point, 13% next year. Another half, 13.5, 2017, and then 14.5, a full percentage jump, 2018. And then reducing by half a point in 2024 when we pay off the 10-year library bonds. That's in a draft ordinance tonight later on.
Okay. Councilperson Goodrich?
A couple questions that I don't think we've ever had been asked. One is on the franchise agreement with Comcast. How is that done? How often do we deal with that?
Good question. We have two franchise agreements, the cable TV and Comcast and SSC Garbage. Periodically, while we're looking right now, the administrator is looking at the sanitary services company, SSC's garbage deal. I guess the answer would be it's when the term is close to getting to go coming up, and I don't remember exactly on Comcast when that term is up. We currently get 5% of gross. We get that check annually in January.
We've rolled over to year to year, so we could renegotiate that when we feel like it.
Okay, very well. Good question. Did we answer it?
Yeah, do we get anything from the satellite TV providers?
We get sales tax from DirecTV and Dish Network and that sort of thing. We see that monthly in our sales tax
reports.
Is there
a utility tax on that?
I haven't seen the cable TV or the satellite TV folks in the utility tax reports. So I don't know. They're not exclusive to our city. We haven't granted a franchise, I don't believe, to any of them.
The reason I ask, I just got it on my dish on my motorhome, and it's tied to my house address. So
let me see a copy. See if the city per deal.
We'll see if
we get sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Good question.
Okay, any other technical questions? Okay, thank you. So this is the public hearing part, 64407. We'll open up the public hearing. Anyone from the audience would like to come forward and speak on the budget? Anyone? Okay. So 64420, we'll close the public hearing. Okay, moving on to the agenda, because we'll vote on this later.
Mr. Mayor, if I can just add a comment. Looking for the council to approve or disapprove the budget in our first meeting in December. Tied to that general budget,
not only general fund, but all 38 funds currently. To make that balance, we have solid waste tax ordinance later on tonight, and that needs to be addressed to make it all work.
Okay. Next we have a closed record public meeting about the Moy Village PUD. You're making, I don't understand what that means.
No. Our associate planner, assistant planner Haley Miller will be presenting this.
Oh, that's what you're trying to do. That was a weird signal. It was like, you got to get,
I thought it was pro D.
You have to get him better on his signals.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and council members. So tonight on consideration, we have a planned unit development application referred to as Molloy Village Plan Unit Development 2. So this development is located east of Molloy Avenue, just south of Calico Loop, under that existing development referred to as Molloy Village PUD 1. And phases 1 through 3 have already been developed. So this is the next step in their development process that they brought forward in 2004. So they're actually coming forward with this phase as a new planned unit development application. The original phase 4 that they wanted to bring forward had expired from the original 2004 approval. So it is a new planned unit development application. So with their new application, they did do a few changes, eliminated impervious surface throughout the development, and then proposed a new type of housing, attached townhouses, which are structures that are attached to each other with their own lots underneath. So that will be proposed on the southeast portion of the lot. And then the new single-family detached homes will serve as a buffer between the existing development and the new attached homes. So planned unit developments are slightly more flexible. They are allowed to have reduced roads. The planned unit development here, the infrastructure on the site, such as the roads, storm wall, et cetera, are entirely private. So they're owned and maintained by the Homeowners Association and not the city. The city will have access to utility easements for the water and sewer lines into the wetland areas. So staff reviewed this proposal. It was pretty straightforward. We presented the staff report to the hearing examiner at the meeting on November 12th. And we had some public that were in attendance that were able to come and ask questions and, you know, submit their comments. So staff and the applicants who are also present today, in case you guys have questions, we were able to address their questions. The hearing examiner did add 3 conditions to his recommendation of approval to council related to the current mailbox location, the parking circulation plan, and required them to submit a new PUD buffer plan for staff to review before final approval. So the hearing examiner and staff are recommending approval with 48 conditions to council for this application. So tonight is a closed record public meeting. Council will have the opportunity to approve this as conditioned or request clarifications on issues related to the record or to return the PUD to the hearing examiner for further development of the record. So I'm here to answer questions.
And the Planning and Land Use Committee forwarded this item to full council closed record public hearing with no recommendation. Councilperson Olson?
We did have some questions, though. Did we get answers for those, Yori?
You did, and I believe the applicant, Michael Carey, is willing and able to answer.
Do you want to go through the questions so the audience is following along appropriately?
I would be happy to. So the council had a number of questions. The primary one, well, I guess depending on which council member, the fact that this is a PUD and that the roadways were going to be private. There were questions about whether or not the HOA was aware of their responsibility, whether or not there had been funds set aside in a reserve pursuant to a reserve study to pay for the ongoing costs of maintenance, whether or not the existing vault walls, the graffiti on them, had been eliminated or will be eliminated.
The landscape.
And then what sort of landscaping, if any, was there to block the view of that wall? So Mr. Carey, his brother, I believe, actually responded, or was it
you? Yeah, my brother, Tim, and partner responded already in writing to Yori, and I'll, if you haven't seen it. So the first one on the HOA, we currently have with the every lot, the foundation is basically the lot. Everything else outside of the foundation of the home is owned by the HOA. And we're holding $15 a month extra per lot now in a reserve fund. So we haven't done a study because we haven't felt that we needed one at the time. I'm the president of the association right now just because that we own it. We've been doing what routine maintenance that we need to do as it's come up since 2006. So
by law, though, you will have to do a reserve study. I mean, our HOA at Pacific Islands, we had to pay to get a reserve study. At some point, you'll have to pay.
Yes.
To save
it. Yes. And we're aware of that. But as we've just been kind of shut it down since 2008 when the economy did what it did, and then we paid off the loan that we had on the land, and then we just come back now. We felt that the economy was good enough that we should come back and finish out phase four. So yes, we're aware of that. So on the graffiti, we're aware of that. This is the wrong time of year to try to do any painting. But we are going to get rid of the blue water well and all that other lovely graffiti that is inside the infernal. I think most of the stuff on the outside has been taken care of by the juvenile, the police spot. They caught some young men down there tagging it a few years ago, so they brought those guys down there and they redid it. But we are going to, as we move forward, remove the graffiti that's inside.
And the landscaping?
The screening.
And the screening. What you see now is you see 4 or 5 feet of the vault out. We're going to backfill that, almost level with that. And then we're planning on doing a cedar fence on the inside, so we have the current chain link fence. To keep people out of the vault, we're going to do a cedar fence on the inside on the lots and then do landscaping within each of those lots as well.
We're just checking on her.
Okay.
Nothing. Carry on.
Sorry.
What? Wasn't that landscaping supposed to be done in the phase one?
The phase one, since the subdivision went from west to the east, with the east being where the vault was, would have been one of the last to be done, and that was still under construction.
Yeah, phase one was actually along Molloy itself. Mm-hmm. Those two little pockets, Kona Court, and then the little pocket alleys was phase one, and then phase two actually came down Calico and in.
I guess I'm confused. Why don't we have the landscaping to cover the vault already done since the houses have been in since, what, 2006?
We started along Molloy back in 2006. We've been using the vault is 14 feet tall, and it was daylit. So when we are excavating for the foundations, we're using the swales from the excavations to backfill up against the wall.
Okay. I don't understand why it hasn't been done if it was a condition of the first one. Or was it not a condition of the first one?
The way, and correct me if I'm wrong, the way that the subdivision was originally identified was that they would not get to the point of putting in the pretty elements until towards the latter portion of the project, which would have been this phase four we're currently looking at. So it was just that it was a physical distance away from the vault, so there wasn't not the need or the conditions from the city to require that.
And we had to construct the vault before at the same time that we started it back in 2006 along Molloy.
Yeah.
So we weren't even, we actually had it chain linked off, and it was just a gravel road for a year to a year and a half before we were connected to it before we actually started any work on Calico Road.
And from the city's perspective, and I think the applicants, this entire project would have been completed by now, by 2008 even, but because of the recession and other...
Well, that's understandable. I'm just concerned about giving them a target, and if the sooner you can eliminate that so they can't draw and paint and what have you.
Okay, any other questions for our guests?
The post office, what did they decide to do about the mailboxes? You know, did you reach an agreement with the post office?
We are still working with them because, as we know, they're fairly difficult to work with, being very nice. they pretty much told us where we had to put that. We have some homeowners in there that have ADA, that she's handicapped and in a wheelchair, and it doesn't work for her. So it's dangerous. It doesn't work for anybody, and the hearing examiner brought that up, and I've been bringing that up for a long time, but now I think we have a little more ammunition. Well, we're coming back, and it's actually conditions where we can go to the post office and say, hey, here's what we have to do. They can't deny a service because they've already given a service. So we've come up with an alternate loop where we can put it where it's safe for the driver can drive in to one location, get rid of the mail, and then the occupants or the tenants or the homeowners can get there, and it's safe where nobody's going to get run over. You don't have to park your car on one, walk across the street to get it. This is very inconvenient. It's convenient for the Postal Service, but it's inconvenient for everybody else.
So they're not going to make... I think we were more worried about you doing all the infrastructure than them saying, no, you need to put it over here. Having you build that whole little island and everything. But if you're comfortable...
I am very comfortable.
Okay, any other further questions? Councilor Sangorm?
The townhouse section, is that going to be multiple story?
Yes, sir.
I'm concerned a little bit because some of the PUDs that I've seen where they're doing that type of development, they're using a less than what we would consider full width road because they don't allow parking on the street. They have parking off street. And my concern with that is that there's been a couple of developments that have been done. And then the fire department comes in and says, we can't service this area because we can't get the outriggers out on our trucks.
And I just had a meeting with the chief specifically about that. And one of the conditions was from the hearing examiner that we had to do a parking plan. And I took the plan that we had proposed to the chief, and he made recommendations of areas that we needed to change, and we implemented his changes.
Councilperson Mutchler?
Yeah, I just have, this might be to staff, and I don't know if you got my phone message. I'm between phones, so if you call back, I may have dismissed it. It's a sentence that's a couple times, and I'm on page 60, paragraph 12, and the sentence is, maybe it's playing everybody else, no buildings may be set back less than 20 feet from the private street otherwise, no zoning setbacks are required. Can that be said differently? I'm not quite sure what that means. And I have a particular interest in setbacks, so I'm on council packet, page 60, paragraph 12.
I'm 12.
And this is repeated elsewhere in the packet.
So the requirement for that is that the roadway itself does have that 20-foot setback in order to protect the roadway, to protect vision clearance, so on and so forth.
That's fine, which is what our standard code is, but that would be different than what we've allowed elsewhere in that PUD. Yeah.
The 20-foot setback?
Yeah, because there's not 20-foot setbacks elsewhere in that PUD from the driveways going in and out there. It's 8 and 10 feet.
In my reading of this, and the applicant can correct me if I'm wrong, is that would not require a change to what you have proposed in this new subdivision. Is that correct?
That's correct. No change.
Say that differently. So he's going to have 20-foot setbacks, whereas he didn't before. I don't care.
In the previous PUD, we did not have, on some of them, there was only 5-foot setbacks.
Right.
In the alley section, but now,
it's on the main roads going off the main. Is it Calico coming off?
Calico is the main, yes, sir.
Yeah, and I think it looks nice. I'm not critical of it, but setbacks are pretty close. You've got a 20-foot driveway, but you have houses that are sometimes 5-8 feet from the sidewalk, and so these are going to be different.
Yes, they are.
Okay,
yes,
and that's fine. And it's just an awkward sentence too, in light of that.
The PUDs, in trying to be flexible, sometimes create awkward language, and we're working on fixing that. But essentially what this says is 20 feet from the roadways, and that there won't be zoning setbacks. There might be building code setbacks, but in theory, within a PUD, you can get down to a zero property line.
So for staff, language works?
Our assistant planner is going to be administrating it and wrote that. Are you comfortable with that language?
It's straight out of our code, so we're working on changing it right now. Mm-hmm. Right now, that's what we're using.
So in planner speak, it's okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Good thing to bring it. It is oddly worded.
Didn't make sense.
Okay. Any other questions for this guest? Councilperson Bursch?
These are the four plans. They're two or three bedroom, two-car garage?
Yes, ma'am. Three bed, two-and-a-half bath, full two-car garage.
How much driveway is there?
20 feet of driveway.
Okay, so
20-foot of driveway and then a 22-foot deep garage.
Okay.
So a two-car garage and then two vehicles can also fit on the off-street or in the driveway.
And they're going to be three floors?
Yes, ma'am.
Everybody okay? We're kind of a little distraction here, but I think we're okay. I think we can keep moving forward. We have before you then any for the question. It's approval of AB 1111010. Councilperson Mutchler?
So move approval.
Second.
Okay, been moved by Councilperson Mutchler, seconded by Councilperson Goodrich. Any further questions? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries 7-0. Okay, moving on to the public hearing on the property tax rate for 2016. Thank you, gentlemen. Good luck.
Good evening, Council, Mr. Mayor, and guests. Earlier this evening, Council approved in the consent agenda two separate resolutions on the 2016 property tax. The first resolution was to authorize a property tax increase for 2016 equal to the rate of inflation. Inflation is defined as the implicit price deflator, IPD, which the federal government publishes every September. And in this September, going back 12 months, the inflation adjustment was up 0.251, about a quarter of 1%. So the first resolution you approved tonight approved property tax increase of 0.251. The second resolution you approved established a need to increase property taxes above the inflation rate to bring those property taxes in total up to 1% higher than the previous year. Those resolutions were passed tonight, and so before you tonight is an actual ordinance that increases general property tax 1% above the 2015 authorized.
Okay, technical questions, because this is a public hearing. Any technical questions from staff? Okay, seeing none. At 7:02:48, we'll open up the public hearing. Would anyone from the public like to come forward and talk about property tax revenues for the... Well, there you go. See, we like to have people talk. So come forward, sir. Who are you and why are you here? For the record again.
Nobody's going to say it. My name is Fred Rudolph. And I think this tax increase is a little premature in as much as we're going to have 400 unemployed people from Alcoa. And then to boot, senior citizens are not going to get an increase this year, so there's no more money coming in. And the more money you take in taxes, the less money is going to be spent in town. And let's face it, you give it out in taxes or you take it out of your town. So I think it's a little premature to go ahead and raise any property taxes. 1% doesn't sound like a hell of a lot, but when you take 1% of $200,000 or $300,000, it adds up, doesn't it?
Thank you.
So that's my comment.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Anyone else from the public like to speak
can
on
that? Can I explain that property tax?
That
was an incorrect.
Yeah, why don't we leave the public hearing open, okay. See if anyone else wants to speak, and then we'll go to response. So anyone else like to come forward and speak on the property tax? Okay, so at 7:04:23, I'll close the public hearing part. Councilperson Hanson, you had your hand up, and then Councilperson Watson.
We constantly use the that term, a 1% increase. It's not a 1% increase. It actually amounts between a tenth and two-tenths of a percent increase. It's a 1% increase in the amount of money that the city collects from property tax. It's if all of the jurisdictions, in the school district and the cemetery district, everyone took a 1% increase, then it would be a 1% increase. They don't all do that. They aren't all authorized to do that. It is a 1% increase in the amount of budget that the city has. Realizing that we have all sorts of contracts that are going to go up by 2 and 3 and 4 and 5%, this is only a 1% increase in the budget. When you boil it down, it becomes about a tenth of a percent increase in actual property tax. So on a $300,000 home, a 1% increase would be $300. A tenth would be $30. That's a big difference.
I'm hoping, just to interject here for the future, hoping the clerk type that down word for word, because in my 2 years as a council and my 8 years as a mayor, I appreciate every single time we talk about property tax. Councilperson Hansen is the one that explains it. He's explained it to newspaper reporters on several occasions. They still get it wrong in the paper, not to mention anything against newspaper reporters getting it
not
incorrect.
Our esteemed media.
So someone in the future needs to take over that duty of Councilperson Hansen's duty. So hopefully you've wrote it down word for word so
yeah,
someone can bring this forward and say, all right, now let me talk to you about property tax. Councilperson Olson.
I just want to Mel threw out the figure, but that's correct, Mark, about $30 for the $300,000 home would be the tax increase.
Yeah, correct. The total tax we're asking for, the 1% increase, is 1% higher than current year's receipts. It comes to $24,000.
No, I'm talking about breaking it down to one person's house.
Someone's home. It has all these line items, all the different property taxes, various taxes, cemetery district, county taxes, all that stuff, school district. That sounds about right. I mean, if you take someone's, I think you take Councilmember Lester ahead.
I think it's less. Even if you just estimate there are 4,000 homes divided into $24,000, $6.
I think it's less based on how much I'm paying.
I think it's $6.
Well, regardless, that wasn't where Mr. Rudolph was going. He was looking for a zero. So I'm going to depend him on this subject. So any other comments from the council?
I have one more comment.
Well, I don't know if you get two, but you can come forward, sir.
Hold on, you can have two.
I can do it right here.
No, you can come forward. Come forward. To speak in the microphone so we can record you.
Just got a notice from our assessor, and it raised my taxes several thousand dollars more. So I assume other people will be getting increases in their property taxes any day.
With the valuation, yeah, you're correct.
I've got to react to that.
Yeah. Councilperson Hansen.
That was not, I got the same thing. It's an assessment change. And if all of the properties are assessed, if all the properties go up by 5%, taxes will come down by 5%, and it'll be a push.
There you go. Again, hopefully you got that word for word, so we have, a property tax expert on the council in
not
the future.
Experts. It is.
Okay, what's that?
Yes.
We closed the public hearing. We're in council discussion.
I thought we were still in public hearing.
No, we closed it at 7:04:23. Councilperson Goodrich.
So the resolutions didn't raise the... I'm confused. Why do we do the resolutions if we're doing an ordinance?
That's an excellent question. Not entirely clear. I want to make sure that we do everything right according to the county assessor. We did the two resolutions verbatim as the guidance we got from the county assessor 2 days after the last council meeting. So we've done that. I just want to make sure there's no ambiguity. This ordinance shows the percent increase and the dollar amount of increase like we done every year.
Yeah, I was going to add just to that. It's unusual. It doesn't happen very often that the inflation rate is less than 1%. So this is kind of an abundance of caution, kind of a belt and suspender approach to making sure that the council's intentions are adequately and accurately reflected or reported to the county assessor.
And do we have any percentages left in the bank, or that's all been used up?
We do. Last time I looked, it was about 54 grand of
bank capacity.
Bank capacity.
2.5%.
About 2.5.
Yeah.
The math would work.
Okay, further discussion? You take a motion. Yeah. Motion from council?
So moved.
Second.
I have nothing to move.
Okay. I hold that thought. Okay, so we move by Councilperson Watson, seconded by Councilperson Mutchler. Further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, motion carries 7-0. Okay, next up, moving on to the ordinance regarding the solid waste tax increase, which would not affect Ferndale citizens.
How do you really feel?
Council, as alluded to earlier this evening, our draft budget is balanced, if you will. Every fund, all of 38 funds. Primarily, our general fund is the usual fund that is a challenge to budget revenues covering expenses. In the draft budget, we've included quite a number of new expenditures. Free staff, an equipment purchase, heavy equipment purchase of $473,000 financed through the state local program that goes out to the bond market twice a year at favorable interest rates, plus many, many vehicles. Three new police vehicles for 4 years and 3 years in a row beginning next year, plus the three of this year. That's 12 vehicles in 4 years, a new scope police vehicle, and various other smaller items in the budget. In order to make a balance, one type of revenue could be raised is a solid waste tax, currently at 12.5% of gross on our two transfer stations on Slater Road, two private transfer stations. We sent out to the council, as requested last Wednesday, a list of cities and jurisdictions in the state and what their garbage rate is. I didn't verify with every city if those figures were accurate. Marysville said 15%. I did call one that was missing, and they were at 6%. But a couple of them are up as high as 40%. Again, as the mayor mentioned, our agreement with our sanitary service company, SSC Garbage Hauler, our curbside pickup garbage company, the deal is the solid waste tax is not passed on to the city of Ferndale residents, but it is passed on to county residents. So there's that. So before you tonight, after discussion in the Finance Committee meeting, is alternate A, which is going from 12.5 to a half point increase next year to 13, another half point in 2017, and a full point in 2018. And then a reduction of half a point in 2024 when we pay off our library general obligation bonds. So to make the draft budget work, we need this solid waste tax increase.
Okay, and for discussion and issues, the Finance Administration Committee members unanimously forward this item to full council with recommendation for approval. Again, that is 1, 2, 3, 4 years. Councilperson Olson, I believe, was first, and Councilperson Goodrich.
Mark, we haven't, just for the public knowledge, we haven't bought police cars since when? Due to the feds buying them.
As you alluded, the feds, federal funding provided that for several years. Not that long, I would say 3 or 4 years in a row. One or two vehicles through the Stone Garden.
I think it might have been five.
I can do research
I can ask.
Tomorrow. This year we funded two vehicles through solid waste, and recently we've funded the third police vehicle through solid waste tax because the revenues have been so strong this year in solid waste tax collection.
It just seems like that's a lot of cars, but you have to know the background of why we're at this point.
Amazingly, maybe the public should know, our police drive around a lot, which is good.
We did make a large purchase, I believe, in 2006 of several, six or eight vehicles in 1 year. I think that might have been the year we raised the solid waste tax from 1% to 6%.
Councilor Goodrich is next.
One comment that was made that Ferndale residents don't pay this tax. Yes, they do if they take their own stuff to the garbage. If you go to the dump,
excellent,
and you take
point.
A load to the dump, you pay excellent the tax. Yeah. I've, you know, during construction remodeling, I did lots of loads to the dump, and I saw on the little sticker there, you know, what percent goes to the city of Ferndale.
Yeah,
so
the state gives a deal.
It doesn't come out of our regular bill, but if you take something to the dump, you'll pay an increase.
Good point.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I think during our workshop discussion that we could possibly not do the increase and use some of the surplus that's in the solid waste fund, instead of doing the increase for next year?
That's certainly a possibility. The revenues have been very strong this year for solid waste tax, especially the last few months. And you see those revenue graphs monthly. That's a possibility.
Yeah, I guess I'd just add, it would be a short-term solution, only because, you know, the debt service for the vehicles or the payroll for the employees continue year after year after year. And so that's why we brought this forward, because it is a sustainable revenue source. And I guess the other side of that would be that we do budget rather conservatively, and almost every year, I think, for the past decade, we've added to our general fund balances, except when the economy went awry. And in a lot of ways, I look at these maybe a one-year anomaly when it comes to excess solid waste revenues as that buffer, that reserve, if you will, that is going to be there in the future should the economy again kind of seesaw on it. So if you want to consider using the excess revenues that we anticipate this year for solid waste, just we're going to need to address how we would pay in years 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, because as you know, the debt service on the equipment is 20 years and the employees are probably that long as well.
Well, just the concern that was for the audience that wasn't here during the workshop, the concern that I have is with the economy, with Alcoa and some other things, and what I hear watching the business networks and stuff like that, in some respects they're not painting a very rosy picture for economy and stuff like that in the near future. And personally, I'd like to see holding off on doing this until next year. And unfortunately, we had the discussion about the new hires, and when we found out the two of the three positions have already been hired, the initial thought was to hold off maybe until June to see how things are going before we do the initial hire. I know I personally would feel more comfortable with that but like I said, I'd hate to bring somebody on and see that the pundits are true and the economy does take another downturn and we have to lay off the person we just hired and things. So,
yeah. That's the reason.
Raise the taxes, to begin with, on top of that, too.
And I think that what we've talked about also during the study session is that this is such a broad-based tax that it's not dependent on the economy or the particular effect in Ferndale or in Bellingham. This solid waste tax.
But it always seems to be it's the thing that we go to.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
When do we get to that point where we don't go there anymore?
Right.
You know.
Councilperson Hansen?
Well, what was just mentioned was the fact that there's an anomaly for 2015, and we're up $50,000-$60,000, or it looks like we're going to end up the year up $50,000-$60,000, which is essentially a 0.5%. That anomaly could continue. It could be not an anomaly. It could be, and then what we've got is we're adding to the tax without really finding it necessary. If the surplus continues in the solid waste tax, inflation has taken care of our need for the staffing for the police vehicles and what have you. I am not suggesting, I'm not going to vote for this, and I'm not suggesting that we necessarily pick some area and start cutting back here or there. It's going to take some work on our part, but we're going to take another workshop to figure out whether we make some other cuts or whether we do some adjustments in expenditures of reserves, that sort of thing. Or just this could be delayed until February 1st so that we lame ducks don't have to buy it or have anything to do with it. But it could be, and I say that with some levity, but it's serious. I very seldom have supported this because I still go back to the original resolution. For special projects only, except that we hired a planner back when we had four planners. We hired a planner, and we're still funding that planner, even though we've let two of those planners go. And we still fund that planner on solid waste. We have a whole bunch of others that we've added that are not special projects. Library, special project. Police vehicle, special project. Staff should be able to do it without, because we have the luxury of this. A lot of other communities don't. I'm not supporting it.
Councilperson Metzler?
Yeah, our council, we've got good metaphors up here. Councilmember Olson's stormwater slush fund, I think it was Councilmember Hansen that maybe someone else, this is the golden goose that we don't want to kill. I personally don't think we're at the point of killing the goose. And I remember when we talked about gas taxes, and we did that on more than one occasion, we instantly knew who the gas station owners were. They were quite vocal. I don't think we've ever seen the solid waste folks come here.
SSC came once.
Yeah. Are they here contacted today? Us individually. I can guarantee you that.
I've never heard from them. So and my impression is we're not at that point. I don't know what the amount is that we need to raise, but I'm comfortable going to solid waste again. And I would support the ordinance if it was up for a vote.
Councilperson Olson?
As a wise man once said last council meeting, resolutions aren't forever, I believe, was the quote, or words to that effect. Bellingham has sales tax because they have all the stores. We have garbage. It's just the way it is. I'm going to support it because we need it, and this is all we have. I don't know what else to say other than that.
Councilperson Watson?
I'm not going to support it only because there's some things in the budget that I would like to see go away. And I still have hope that we can make them go away, but I don't support this.
Councilperson Goodrich?
If we really truly needed it, yes, I could see it. I don't think we really truly, there's that need and want or would likes. I think between, the possibility of looking at some other things or using our reserves would be better than to continue with this. What are we going to do next year? Oh, we need X next year. Oh, we'll just raise the solid waste tax. It's gotten to that point where, we try to say, okay, we want X, we'll just raise solid waste. And then next year we want X, we'll just raise solid waste. I think we need to tell the staff and things that solid waste is not the thing that we keep going to every year, and you can't count on those increases. Some other funding ways or whatever. I think that's the way we need to go, but I think we need to stop looking at solid waste as our answer to all our needs or wants or whatever.
Councilperson Olson.
I didn't hear anybody turn down anything on Santa's list, and now it's time to pay for it. So how do you expect to give everything on Santa's list without some way to pay for it? If we want to use the possible bad economy scenario again, the only thing that I think, and I'm not an economist, the only thing I think we can look at is what happened during the Great Recession. Did those revenues plummet during the Great Recession? And I think you've already answered that, and it was no.
Again, I mean, staff only went this direction based on council direction at the last budget workshop. So it isn't. I don't want to give the impression that staff is just suddenly making this up. Staff went this direction because the council basically urged the staff to go this direction. You are giving, you know, our treasurer likes to plan ahead and plans ahead wisely. You're giving him direction for 4 years. Certainly you can change the years, but...
We're giving him indigestion right now.
Probably so. Councilperson Mutzler.
So I guess I don't know how the vote's going to be because a couple of council members haven't expressed an opinion, but if this fails, if a motion's made, then is it the wish of council to just go through that Santa's list, I guess I'll use that another colorful metaphor, and cut the Christmas list down, or I thought that's what we did before was we were looking at that.
What about the surplus?
What about the surplus? If we got a surplus, let's use the surplus and then see what we need after that.
We just heard that was a small amount.
Councilperson Ingram has the floor.
Well. None of us have a crystal ball. If we depend upon the surplus, and it turns out that surplus was an anomaly, then it's going to have to be done next year, and maybe you have to go up a full percentage next year instead of 0.5%. If, however, it's not an anomaly, and we do continue with high revenues in solid waste, people seem to forget, you know what? You can always go and lower it. This is not irreversible stuff we're doing here, but it gives us the direction, if we pass it, that we can take and give our finance director the thumbs up to go ahead with the programs that he's worked really hard to develop here and take some of the, maybe some of the Tums off of his desk. But you know, if that surplus continues to grow, cut it back. Do it next year when the budget time comes around. Say, look, you know, we raised it 0.5%, but we can go back 0.5%.
When do you see that happen?
Well, it depends upon the integrity of the council. If you want to get me ticked off, it depends on whether you got balls enough to do it. If you don't, you shouldn't be sitting there.
Okay, so
because you know that this attitude of well you'd never see that happen. That's because nobody's got the guts and the integrity to make it happen.
So before you is AB 1511012. Are we done with discussion? Or we want to discuss some more.
No.
Councilperson, no.
I move for approval AB 1511011.
Second.
Okay, been moved and seconded. I think I'm going to go with roll call vote.
Good idea.
Councilmember Watson?
No.
Councilmember Hansen?
No.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Councilmember Ingram?
Yes.
Sorry, typo.
It's not a tough name to spell.
I know. Councilmember Mutchler?
Yes.
Councilmember Birch?
Yes.
Councilmember Goodrich?
No.
Okay, appears it passes 4-3. Okay, so moving forward, that was a heck of a discussion. That's what it's supposed to be all about. So we're down to mayor reports. On Wednesday, late Wednesday afternoon, Governor Inslee is coming to town. He's going to meet. I was disappointed that he wanted to come in and talk to the county executive and the mayor of Bellingham about how a COA would affect Whatcom County. Thanks to the county executive said, well, possibly you should invite the city that it probably affects more, that calls it home. And so thank you to the executive. Ferndale is now invited to this meeting, and I appreciate the executive doing that because he is supposedly coming with funds to help communities, and up until then it was to help Bellingham. I don't get it sometimes. But so we're at the table, and so hopefully that will be happening. Again, I'm sure other people will bring this up, but Thursday, 6:30, our community meeting, and hopefully all attend. We hope that we fill that room. So that's it for mayor reports. Council reports. Councilperson Bursch was rapidly up.
The mayor is the keynote speaker at the Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday.
I'm bringing my able-bodied community development director because no one wants to listen to it. Has been, perhaps never was. And that's the lean process. You give the job to someone else. Councilperson Watson, you have your hand up, I believe.
Yeah, we started the Lego Robotics Club at the library this afternoon. We had about 7 kids come. It was very fun. We were building robots. And we're going to
have Legos?
They're Legos, but it also has a computer. And so the kids are programming it. The robots are walking all over the place.
Wow, way to go.
Yeah,
fascinating.
So we'll see how many kids we can get together, and we'll start offering it once a week.
STEM is moving forward. Councilperson Goodrich?
I'd just like to say that, you know, I've been gone for a few weeks here, our council meetings. It was a good time and a sad time while I was gone. Got to see my niece get married in Big Sur, which is a very beautiful setting and a very nice wedding. But then I had to turn around and deal with my father-in-law's estate and family members and stuff associated with dealing with somebody's estate that passed away just a month ago. So I'm sorry I missed some of the discussions and things, but family meetings and stuff. So good to be back.
Councilperson Hansen?
I'm going to miss the community meetings on the 2nd. We still want to cover public works and community services.
Okay, so we have those. Typically, we've had people in the room without even scheduling, so we'll make it happen.
Okay. You got it? No, you can't do it.
No, you can't do that.
Okay. I'd have to resign temporarily.
Yeah. Okay, any other council reports? Councilperson Bursch.
I will be missing December 2nd committees as well, but Kathy and Sabrina should sit in my place.
Okay, good job. Okay, moving on. Department reports. Finance Director?
Nothing further.
City Administrator?
Just wanted to bring up with the elections, I think, going to be certified here rather quickly. We looking to next year, we will have one open council seat. And so the barring someone resigning prior to that, the new city council will be tasked with filling that open seat. But one of the things I'd like to consider is actually advertising for that opening in December. So come January, the new council could, if they wish, appoint that person at their first meeting. So just something to think about, and we can talk about it more at our next meeting. Because once
and again, that process, they'd have, if you had more than one, they'd do an interview in front of the public. Then they go into exact discussion, come back, and do action?
Exactly. And then once you get a full contingent of council, then we would be in a position of assigning committees and mayor pro tem and talking about a retreat to kind of brainstorm and set our priorities with the new council and the new mayor. So we're starting to think internally just on transition, and so some of this may start to occur prior to January, just because I'd like to give the new council, you know, as much time and effort to get their house in order and get moving come the new year.
Good.
could we, well, there'd be three of us that don't really need an entire retreat. Could we have it phased in that for perhaps the afternoon session for the new people? And the
yeah, in fact, I've been thinking a little bit about the format for the retreat, and I think it might work, only because in some ways, even though this is oversimplification, in some ways I'm thinking of the retreat kind of in two parts, if you will. Mm-hmm. One part where we literally talk about, you know, what do the people at City Hall do? What's the difference between community development and public works, you know, preliminary plats, final plats, and, you know, just talking about the mechanisms of the city and understanding what everyone does and how it all works together. And then, theoretically, it could be the second half. I would love to go through that program that we've done before where we end up developing the must-do list and the should-do list and the could-do list. And that, in particular, really, we would need the entire new council to be there because, as you're aware, because you've gone through the process, at the heart of the must, should, and could is hearing of everyone's ideas and kind of getting a preliminary idea of where there's support and where there's commonality of goals.
And similar to other councils around the state, I mean, you know, you'd want to come because we have our retreat in such luxurious places like the police department, Pioneer Park. You know, we travel far. Sandwiches.
Yeah. Never mind. I won't.
He's not catching the excitement here.
Didn't we skip must, could, should, would?
Is it every other year?
We've not done it every year, just because there has not been the magnitude of turnover on the council.
I don't think it's not the magnitude of turnover on the council. It's the magnitude of lack of funds. And that everything is pretty well spoken for where it's going with our list of TPD, our projects, and all that. There's really nothing else to sit in line and try and spend because, as we just discussed for an hour, we don't have any money.
Right. Well, so, then, theoretically, though, the new council will have their budget to decide if they want to reprioritize it. I've done this before in other cities where we've literally redone the budget.
It is a good thing to suddenly, you know, get a council to know each other. I think it's more important. I mean, people always ask me why I do lean on Fridays, and it is lean is the idea, but it basically brings the staff together too is the most important thing.
Yeah, and like this will, as the mayor said, not only will we have four new council members that need to perhaps learn each other's desires and needs, but we also will have a staff for four council members that will be new people I believe we've built up a high level of trust and understanding amongst this group and staff. Well, this process needs to start over again because we'll have new faces and we can't rely on the institutional knowledge that's heading off into the sunset.
I have a telephone call away.
I got him on speed dial.
There you go. Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to say that, you know, come January, there will be some things we need to do, just housekeeping to get everything in order. But I want to start thinking about it now, about maybe a way to kind of start some of the background process so come January we just don't have to start from ground.
To be determined, so exactly. Further discussion. Yeah. Community Development Director.
Mine is for the Community Development Department and Public Works Department, too, where those staff who are involved in development review. It's interesting, you know, we've seen what's on the news as well as far as, you know, economic prospects. But as we said earlier, we've just seen a huge uptick in development permits come in over the last couple of months. Last week, I think we had 8 new single family come in 2 days.
And that would be post-Alcoa news.
This is post-Alcoa. This is all post-Alcoa. We've seen... Sometimes we skip our technical review committee meetings in November and December because there's just not enough. We have 4 projects that have just been submitted. I think combined they're probably about 500,000 square feet, nearly 100 residential multifamily proposed in there. In addition to 75-unit multifamily where the building permits were just submitted. So, you know... who knows, you know, what that means, but we're busy. We're busier than I've ever seen it. So,
What is the county council taking up comprehensive?
The county council is not going to take it up until after the first of the year, because the county planning commission does their recommendation, holidays, and then
they have to have theirs completed before the end of 16.
Well, before June 30th.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so. And for the new council to know, also, we're going to be hitting you fast and hard with the comp plan, where it's just going to be coming, and we're going to have to be done with all elements by June 30th, but that really means that you're going to have to be done with them by the first meeting in June.
Okay. Clerk?
Nothing.
Communication director?
Two quick notes. The FEMA folks are coming to town because the countywide we got money is coming for the late August windstorm. And,
really?
And we've submitted paperwork for that, and they're looking over all the paperwork. So if you are having trouble sleeping, I would be happy to share with you the reams and reams of paperwork there, because it's soporific. And then, of course, as Gary noted, the citywide community meeting this Thursday, 6:30, open house at 6:30, presentation at 7. We're going to pack a lot of information into that and hopefully get a lot of good feedback from our community. So I hope to see everybody in the audience there. Tell all your friends. It's going to be fun.
There you go. Okay, moving on. Public Works Director, anything? Your first meeting? You didn't rush out and leave. You're going, I'm not sitting through this. I'm leaving now. Chief, you weren't here for the meeting, but it looks like you're doing your duty, so we thank you. Anything from your department? Okay. All right. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.